this great feast, this solemnity, this festival of the Epiphany, which for many places in the world, in some of the Eastern Christian churches, this is their great day of celebration, much more so than Christmas. And it's a very significant day for us, because as the collect told us, that this was a revelation to the nations, and not like the United Nations and all of these city-states, but to the nations means to everyone who was not a Jew. We celebrated the birth of Jesus in the manger with Mary and Joseph. And then the shepherds came, the Jewish shepherds came to adore this new Christ child. And then today, the Magi represent the entire world. And this is where the fulfillment of that prophecy from that first reading, "Rise up in splendor, your light has shone." That the light to the nations, the chosen people, the Israelites, those people of the promise, of the covenant, that God had called them to himself so that his light could shine forth through them to the entire world. But we know because of fallen human nature, a simple glance through the Old Testament, we see that that didn't happen. That there became this great wall, dividing wall between the us and the not us, the us and the them, the Jews and everybody else. But continually, throughout that long awaiting time, as the chosen people were waiting for the new Messiah, the new King to come, the prophets continually reminded them of their mission, of their vocation, to be a light to the nations. And so in this great feast of the Epiphany, we celebrate the fulfillment of that. This word Epiphany means to reveal, to allow the light to shine through. I'm sure we've all heard the phrase, and maybe you've used it ourselves, that we've had an epiphany, this enlightened thought that came to us, or a new way of thinking. We call it an epiphany. And it's because of this. This new reality of what Christ brings to our life. And so we're still in the Christmas season. We're still basking in the joy that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son for us. Before the Son died for us, he lived among us. And we celebrate this, that this great gift is not just for a few chosen people, but it's meant for the entire world. And that's what the three wise men represent. These men who come from afar, who've come from the east. You know, what amazing story they have. And what a great image they have for us. We don't know much about them. There's been lots of speculation. But there's a generally accepted tradition that whether they were kings or wise men or astronomers, but they were men who knew the heavens, that their eyes, their hearts were affixed out there. We can say with a certain expectation for something to happen. We can call these men of wonder. They were wondering about what was to happen. Are we people who wonder? Do we think about what else there could be? You know, the world we live in, that we all live in, and you know, we have to be able to speak the truth about it. It's meant to make us selfish, to build our own little kingdoms, right? I can't tolerate an opposing viewpoint. And I never have to watch a commercial or wait for the next thing. It's immediate. And it's only the things that I like. On my playlist, on my preferences. I never have to be forced outside of myself to explore the possibility that there might be more to life than the life that I'm creating. How many people, of our young people today, want to be creators on their platform? They're trying to create an identity, create a world. of their own making. These men, these three men that we call, teach us to break out from that, to allow that restlessness, the angst of our hearts, to be directed somewhere else, to be expecting something more from this world than what's at my fingertips and what I can create for myself. The wise men teach us to be men and women, to be people who wonder, who think, who expect to encounter something more. And then when they did, what happened? They wandered. Their wandering brought them to the wandering. And they followed that star. Again, in our self-created little universe, everything is at our fingertips, and everything is at our screen, and even now in our VR goggles. I can do everything I want from my lazy boy. I never have to go outside of myself, even physically. My food gets delivered. Everything comes to me. My groceries get delivered. My medicine gets delivered. I never have to leave. I can create my own world. These men teach us that part of our life is going on a journey, that we're meant to be. The church calls us pilgrim people, that we are on a journey. And I'm sure because of, we can just look at the lives of these men, that they were able to afford this journey, this trek, this pilgrimage. And then the gifts that they were able to offer. So that we can assume, rightfully, that these men were men of prominence, of importance in their community. They probably were living a well-to-do life. If they were alive today, maybe they lived in a gated community and they had everything, all the amenities that they needed. They didn't need to go out. But they were unsettled. They were desirous of something more. And so they went on this journey. Where are the questions of your heart taking you? Where is the restlessness that we all feel directing your life? These men went all the way to Jerusalem, looking for the new king. Where is the new king? We saw his star rising. Where is he? They were looking for something in particular. Something specific. They were able to name it. Can we? Or do we settle for just this general angst that the next flashy thing might satisfy? And then I'm never satisfied. And I fall into a life of anxiety and unsettledness. And then blandness and a boring life. Because I don't allow myself to be drawn outside of myself. But these men were brought to Herod, the king. And then this is where the story really gets interesting in the realm of the faith. Because they said, where is he? So Herod called the men together, and they knew. They knew the prophecy. They knew what was expected. But only the Magi went. The religious leaders, the prominent people in Jerusalem, they didn't go. They knew, but they didn't go. How many of us are satisfied with simply knowing about Jesus and claiming to know because I studied one time a long time ago? I know all these things. And we keep ourselves distant from that personal encounter with Jesus Christ. The Magi went, and they were overcome with joy when they saw the star over the house. And then they went into the house. Another interesting aspect for us, we must enter into the house. We can't stay far away. We can't stay on the outside. We must go all the way in. And then the Magi, what are they're famous for? What? Giving gifts to the king or to Jesus, right? But before that, what did they ask about? And then what do? We want to go pay homage to him. So when they entered the house, The original says they fell on their face in adoration of this baby in this mother's lap. So these prominent men who traveled, who knows how long, it was more than 12 days or 14 days. We don't know how long it was, but it was a long time. They traveled, and the expectation to encounter the king. And they were directed to this little shed out in this nowhere place for this baby in his mother's lap. Not what they expected, I'm sure. How do you respond when God doesn't meet your expectations? When you desire something, when you want something, when you assume something, but it's not quite what God has for you. When it's not quite how the church presents the truth. What is our response to the unexpected revelation of Jesus? These men fell on their face in adoration. And then they presented their gifts to him. And then they went home another way. So these men who were wondering, and then they were wandering, and then they were worshiping. These great lessons that these men teach us. These great men who, because of their witness, have changed the world. And we can assume that they went home another way. Yeah, if we know the story, because Herod was going to kill the babies. But it's impossible to encounter Jesus and not be changed. You can read the rest of the story and see how Herod was changed as he became enraged with fear and anxiety because his self-made kingdom was threatened. But these men, and so many people in the scriptures, and so many people throughout the history of the church, show us what it means to encounter Christ and to live a renewed life, a new life in Christ. That it's impossible to go back the same way. It's impossible. What are the questions that you're wondering about? Where do you allow those desires to help you to wander? Somehow you wandered here this morning. So we're on the right track. And you physically come inside the church building, but is your heart here? Only a question that you can answer. And it's really the only question that matters. Because when we get in a group mentality, it's easy to just skate through and go with emotions. But Christ has come for you. Herod was afraid. Herod did not want this to be. And neither did the religious leaders of the time. They were comfortable in the life that they had created. And they knew that to accept Jesus Christ meant a radical change in their life. The gift of faith that we receive breaks us out of that life of fear into the freedom and into the hope and the new life of Christ so that we can go back a different way and we can go back and be evangelists to the world, that our lives can be a light to the nation, that our lives can be the star in someone else's life that gives meaning and direction to the questions of their heart. And that our lives can be an example to help them on their journey into the church to encounter the living person of Jesus Christ. You know, a few days ago, Pope Benedict XVI passed away. His funeral was on Thursday. And so it's proper. It's a novena of prayer, 9 days of prayer after the burial of a pope, to pray for the repose of his soul. And so we're still remembering this great man. A man who was a friend of Jesus. A man who wondered and wandered and worshiped. And whose life was changed. And whose witness changed the lives of countless thousands of people. As a priest, as a professor, as a bishop, and certainly as pope. His first homily, when he became pope, he had this to say. Are we not perhaps all afraid in some way that if we let Christ enter our lives, if we open ourselves totally to Him, are we not afraid that He might take something away from us? Are we not perhaps afraid to give up something significant, something unique, something that makes life so beautiful? No. If we let Christ into our lives, we lose nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing of what makes life free and beautiful and great. No, only in this friendship are the doors of life opened wide. Only in this friendship is the great potential of human existence truly revealed. Only in this friendship do we experience beauty and liberation. He went on to say, and so today, with great strength and great conviction, on the basis of a long personal experience of life, I say to you, do not be afraid of Christ. He takes nothing away, and He gives you everything. When we give ourselves to Him, we receive 100-fold in return. Yes, open wide the doors to Christ, and then you will find true life. Amen.